It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. Today, we're going to discuss hospice care, what it is, what it does, who is eligible, and some of the frequently asked questions that my guests get as hospice workers. My guests are Aaron Johnson, the market manager for Gentiva Hospice, and Melanie Pomeroy, hospice clinical liaison for Gentiva. Both have Bachelor of Science degrees in nursing, and both are registered nurses. Thank you both for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for inviting
me. Aaron, can you just give me a quick overview of Gentiva? I know that obviously you do hospice, but you do other things as well. And also the areas that you cover, how wide a stretch do you have across the state?
Sure. So Gentiva has been around, honestly, since the 90s. People may have known us under the Kindred name. We changed our name about a year ago to go back to our original name of Gentiva. And as a whole, we have actually over 590 locations nationwide. And we are actually in 38 states. So we're the largest hospice entity in the country. And now here in Maine, we started the Bangor branch originally 4.5 years ago. And then, 2 years ago, we put an office in Portland, Maine. And about 5-6 months ago, we opened an Augusta location. So we cover a large majority of the state at this point, all the way down to Sanford, Maine, Portland, up through to the Augusta, Rockland, Camden, down to Trenton, Ellsworth area, up to Lincoln, over to Dover Dexter. So our footprint is pretty large, and we're continuing to grow, which is very exciting for us here in the state.
That's terrific. You cover actually a much wider berth than I actually expected. So that's terrific. Thank you for that. Melanie, can you tell me some of the common myths about hospice?
Certainly. One of the most common is that becoming a hospice patient means you're giving up hope. And hospice isn't about giving up hope. It is about helping people enjoy the best possible quality of life. Hospice patients are encouraged to live their life to the fullest. We often hear that people think hospice is a place, and hospice can be provided any place you call home. And another common thing is, I won't be able to see my doctor anymore, which is absolutely not true. We encourage people to stick with their family doctor who knows them and knows their condition to be a part of their care. So those are some of the most common.
How do you know when it's the right time to talk to someone about hospice, especially where sometimes hospice does have that connotation of, I'm just going to lay in bed now and kind of wait for the end, because if you're on hospice, it's your last step, which clearly isn't true. But how do you know how to do that, how to approach that?
I honestly feel like it's not uncommon for people to hear the H word of hospice, and it tends to put a guard up and tends to put panic and alarm up that whoever is suggesting hospice support, that we think that they're dying tomorrow. And honestly, there is so much more benefit and support that comes with it. So truly, when you think about hospice, it's really when you have some sort of a life-limiting disease process that's varied, right? Everything from Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, a history of cerebral vascular disease, COPD, cancer. There's a large array of conditions that at a certain point, we can't fix them. You might be going to the doctor frequently for medications to be managed and adjusted because you're having constant fluid buildup or pain, shortness of breath. You've been to the ER numerous times or in and out of the hospital, again, for managing of symptoms, but not fixing the actual disease process because at a certain point, it's not able to be fixed. So if you're finding that that speaks to you and you have some of these chronic health conditions, and you know, for a lot of folks, as they get older, you might have multiple chronic conditions. Maybe you have COPD and you have congestive heart failure and you have the starts of dementia. I'm kind of putting this visual to you. And you're getting tired of the frequent ER visits, or the medications that are being adjusted are not working as effectively or as long anymore. Those are all great times to think about hospice support, because it doesn't necessarily mean that we think you're dying right now, but we know your condition can't be fixed. And now we want to think about the quality of your life and how we're able to help you with that focus versus a curative focus.
You said that clearly it's not just waiting to die, and there are many supports and benefits. Can you give me an example of that?
The supports that are available to folks who have hospice range from having a nurse coming as frequently as you need. Typically with Gentiva, we have a minimum of twice a week nursing visits where the nurse is going to go over your medications, do a head-to-toe assessment, really get to know you and recognize when there's a change in your condition so that can be managed. You also get an aide, again, as frequently as you need that aide, to help with activities of daily living, to help you with bathing, dressing, a little bit of light housekeeping, you know, maybe helping you make the bed or throwing in a load of laundry for you. And again, that's as often as you need for that service. We also have social work support, which can help linking to other resources that would be in the community above and beyond what's offered through hospice. They can help with navigating all the things that come with end of life kind of planning and preparation and support for the patient and the family. We are fortunate to be well staffed with our chaplain services, which can help people with their spiritual needs as well as companionship. And then we do have a robust volunteer program, which you know, offers people to come and sit and just chat, maybe play a game of checkers, you know, whatever it is that that person might need for just a little extra one-on-one time. So those are all services covered under somebody's hospice benefit at 100%. There's no cost to the patient for these services under their Medicare benefit.
Well, and the aides would provide a respite for the primary caregiver, is that right?
Absolutely. One thing I like to let people know too, as we're talking about the services, this gets brought up a lot. I always like patients, families, people in the community. Hospice is not blocked time service. So sometimes they'll think that they'll have the nurse or the CNA for a half a day or 4 or 5 hours. And that's really our community partners that do private pay caregiving. So when our nurse or our CNA go, they're there, I always say roughly about an hour, and the loved ones are there the other 23, 22 hours a day. So we do a lot of conversation with families. I think it's hard to let us in sometimes, but let our caregivers do the heavy work on the times that they're there, really doing the helping with the bathing and the dressing and all those sorts of things so that they can just sit back and be a loved one because they're there the other times. And then that's a great avenue for our social work team if we're the support that they're getting through hospice is not quite enough and they need more of that direct time, we can help connect them with our other community resources that are out there. We try very hard to be a little bit of a navigator and a support connector with our community.
We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have more with Gentiva discussing hospice. Stay with us. There is much more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk discussing hospice care. We've established that hospice, when someone goes on hospice, it's not an automatic, they are end of life, but not an immediate end of life, probably. So what is the difference between hospice and palliative care?
Great question. And we get this a lot. I think even our medical partners ask this question frequently. And so when you look at both palliative and hospice, they are symptom management experts, both entities. That's their forte. That's what they do. Palliative really gets in much sooner than hospice does, because they are still focused on symptom managements that could be breathing issues, nausea and vomiting, pain, laundry list of things. But they are also there to support a curative approach. So somebody who is still looking to continue with their dialysis or their chemotherapy or rehospitalizations for tests and procedures for their heart condition, but they're struggling with symptoms. That's really the forte, I think, of palliative care, along with starting that goals of care conversation, that planning for what's to come. Hospice really there is to transition over when the curative approach is not the patient's goal any longer. We are still symptom management experts, but now we're switching from fixing to quality of life.
So the chemo would stop, the dialysis would stop, but you would still keep them comfortable.
Yes. We still, they can still take their daily medications. They can still see their primary care doctor. We want them to go out in the yard and play in their garden and go out to lunch with their church friends. We want them to enjoy the very best life has to offer for as long as they can, with us helping them manage the symptoms that sometimes limits them being able to do that.
I think that's something, I'm sorry. I think that's something people really don't realize is that you can be mobile. You can get out of your house. You can have lunch with your friends. You can take your medications all the while being on hospice, because there's this image, I think, for a lot of people that if you're on hospice, there's a lovely person sitting by your bedside, either reading to you or holding your hand, and it's more of a waiting game. And that is just not the case.
Agreed. I think a lot of times people have that premise that once hospice comes in, we stop everything and we just sit around and wait for the end. And it's the exact opposite, really trying to flourish in your life.
Do you think that if someone is at that stage and they go on hospice, that their life actually improves because of all of the benefits that you provide?
Yeah, it's actually a statistical fact that people tend to live a little longer with the support of hospice services than without it. And I think that truly comes from that end of that expert symptom management approach. And when you feel a little better, you feel better mentally, and you feel that you're really fully enjoying, whether it's 2 days, 2 months, or a year, you're really being able to enjoy your life that's left.
So that's interesting. You said a year. I've always heard that hospice is 6 months. That you are, there's a limit. You nearly need to have, and no one has a crystal ball clearly, but there needs to be a 6 month. You may pass away at the end of 6 months. Uh-huh. Now you can have hospice. And if it's longer than that, you don't get to be on hospice. Is that true?
That is also a very great question. We get that a lot. And hospice really is, it's a Medicare benefit that says as long as a patient is considered terminally ill with a life expectancy of 6 months or less. Now, just like you said, there's no crystal ball at the end of this. So we have to do reevaluation periods to show Medicare or insurance that our service is still warranted and that somebody is still declining to end of life. We have to document certain things such as weight loss, change in medications, falls, urinary tract infections. There's a whole laundry list of things that we have to go through every 90 days, and then in another 90 days, and then every 60 days for as long as the person is with us. And if we are showing that a person still is considered terminally ill with that decline trajectory, that warrants the services continuing. So we have had people on service for longer than 6 months.
What if their condition greatly improves? Does somebody ever get off hospice?
Yes, we do graduate folks off hospice from time to time. Sometimes we see this when we get really sick people coming out of the hospital, for example. That's kind of the worst in their chronic condition. And it looks like they're declining towards end of life. And so hospice gets involved, and maybe through the symptom management and some recovery time, they start to rebound. Or they plateau and they are not showing any signs of decline. They have not had any issues with their symptoms. They're improving or just staying status quo. At that point, we oftentimes will look to bridge them back to palliative care or home health to work on some therapies, or just somebody to keep an eye on their symptoms, but they're not necessarily declining towards end of life. So yes, we can graduate them off. It's not a one-time service. So if something happens a month down the road, 6 months down the road, and you have another sudden decline and change, you can always be reevaluated and re-looked at for the hospice support.
When we would take short break, and when we come back, we will discuss more about hospice. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, Hospice Care. Erin, if someone is in an assisted living facility, which does have staff all around helping them all the time and neighbors and things, can someone have hospice care if they're in a setting where they're not necessarily by themselves or with a single caregiver?
Absolutely. Hospice, like Melanie said earlier, truly can go wherever a patient calls home. So we can service somebody in a private home in the community, in an assisted living facility, in a group home, in a long-term care facility. We've serviced people in hotel rooms, homeless shelters, and in certain instances, hospice can even provide care in a hospital setting.
In a hospital setting, I'm guessing it's going to be different because you have nurses monitoring the meds, but you would be in there to provide support and this maybe the spiritual and mental support of a hospice worker.
Yes, there's a lot more guidelines that come into providing hospice support in the hospital. And so that's usually somebody who is having a very high level symptom management crisis.
And how is all of this paid for? Melanie, do you want to jump into, I know Medicare is a factor, but how would someone pay for this?
Medicare does cover hospice at 100%, and most insurances do have a hospice benefit, so that's something that you could look into with your private insurance. But most hospice agencies find a way to get it covered so that the person can have the benefit of it. But an interesting thing is that according to Medicare, 52% of Medicare recipients never utilize their hospice benefit. In the last year of life, a chronically ill patient will experience, on average, 7 hospital admissions, 3 rehab stays, 2 home health care episodes before anyone recommends hospice.
Why do you think that is?
I think we go back to the stigma, the H word being people think that you're imminently dying, and we would like to see people get on service well before they're actively dying so that they can have all the benefit of everything hospice offers to the patients and the families.
I know that the vast majority of Gentiva's hospice providers are ACHC accredited, and I'm guessing accreditation is really important just to know that the person is who they say they are, or they're as trained as they should be. But can you explain that, what that means, ACHC accredited, Erin?
So we, Medicare, we have to go through surveys. We have star ratings and quality metric ratings that are publicly reported for every hospice entity. And we have to be licensed and insured. And so that's a huge part of what we do. That's a huge part of showing the value in the care by looking at what somebody's quality scores are, that the what we say is really what we're providing.
So if someone has just gotten a diagnosis that they have an incurable disease and maybe they're still fine, is that the time, we're almost out of time, but is that the time to actually reach out to hospice and say, this has just happened, once they get their bearings, this has just happened, what should I do? When should I think about this? When do you come in? Do you start really early to help them?
I encourage the earlier the better. You could be somebody who is still seeking aggressive treatment, but you just want the knowledge and information of what hospice looks like, so that as you're planning and as you're starting to have your own goals of care conversation, you know what that support looks like when the time is right for you.
Is there a phone number that people who are interested can call to reach out to Gentiva and get more information about hospice?
Absolutely. You can reach out to us directly. Our main number is 207-573-7012. And feel free to ask for myself or Melanie.
And the website, just gentiva.com?
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure. I learned a lot. I'm sure my listeners did. Thank you so much. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thanks for listening.